Okay, so as you guys know, every year we have VBS, which is always a large outreach for every church. You know, every church in the community does a VBS where we're reaching out to bring Christ to young people. I mean, this is where we get to pour into them for a whole week. And we're really excited because, as you can see behind me, it's all set up. It begins tonight. Lisa's going to come up and share a couple details. But at any moment this week, you are free to bring people, invite families that you know that have children. And just to give everyone a little sampling, let's go ahead and play a video. We got a video that's going to be coming on of our VBS theme this year. And when you guys are ready, go ahead and play it, and then Lisa's going to come up. Hang on 1 second. Start it over with sound as well. That helped.
Mars and beyond.
Excited about this evening when we kick off for our first day of VBS. Like Pastor Noah said, invite your friends, the kids in your neighborhood. If your kids want to invite their friends, have them come on down. We start tonight at 6 o'clock. It's from 6 to 8:30. We run from Sunday to Thursday, and Thursday we will have a program after VBS where the kids will sing songs, and we'll also have ice cream Sundays for everybody. So even if you can't attend or volunteer or just want to come and see the kids sing that last day, we encourage everybody to come and just be a part of it. That'll be around 8:30 on Thursday. If you have any questions, need any more information, or if you would like to volunteer, there is still time. You can see me. I'll be in the coffee mill after church. We're going to have a really quick VBS meeting. If you are a volunteer of VBS, meet us in the coffee mill after church. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa. All right, so that begins tonight, and we'd love for everyone to definitely come Thursday to celebrate with all of our kids and to be a part of seeing them worship and do their dances. It'll be an awesome time. Also, I want to let you know that next Sunday, right after church, we're going to be having our normal gathering. Then we're going to take about a 10 or 15 minute pause, and then we're going to be coming back in here. We're going to have kind of an impromptu family meeting for myself, for Michelle, for our eldership team. We want to communicate on everything regarding changes, where we're heading, even a student ministry update. But it's going to be a time for us just to share our hearts with our church about where we're going, what we're doing behind the scenes, but also a time for everybody in here to have some Q&A as well. Because it's been a challenging, long year for this church, and we're excited to see where God is leading us, but it's important that we do it together, that we walk this journey together. So if you can, please stay after next Sunday. Again, we'll take a little break, and then we'll be hanging out here in the sanctuary. Okay, so don't forget, okay? All right, well, this morning we're going to continue on our series on Inspired, and we're going to jump right into the text. We're looking at a man named Joshua this morning, an amazing story of a young warrior who just blows us away. We're actually going to read the part first and then jump into the story. Okay, so Joshua 1, verse 1, and I'm going to read from 1 to 9 this morning. Joshua 1, 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving you to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all that the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. And I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now, we'll come back into that story in a moment, but first I want to ask, have you ever heard the name Desmond Doss? This name Desmond Doss might be familiar to you if you are a fan of military movies. You might remember a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. Okay, has anybody seen Hacksaw Ridge? Hands up. Yes, perfect. So you'll know the story. In the movie, Desmond Doss was this, you know, this young man, and even the real story is even more inspiring. But Desmond Doss was a young man who worked in a shipyard, and when World War II came, he had a choice before him. He could either stay working in the shipyard because that job was needed. In fact, he actually had an out. They wanted him to stay there. Or he could make the choice to join his brothers who were serving and many of them dying in World War II when it begun. And so he made the choice to go and to serve as a combat medic. Here's why. Desmond Doss was a staunch follower of Jesus, and he did not believe in violence, didn't believe in killing a brother, wouldn't do it. But he would say that I would go and be a medic to save lives. And so he went. So he signed up, he enlists, and he goes. And at first it was really challenging for him. People didn't respect him. He wouldn't use a weapon. But his character and his willingness, tenacity to stay in every single battle, to not run or retreat, but to help save lives, earned him respect and so much among his 77th Regiment. And so the people really admired his example of courage and bravery. Well, his legend began really to just blossom and take off in April of 1945. And this is the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge. So what was happening on Okinawa, Japan, on the island, they were trying to take the island, but the Japanese were mounting a strong offensive. And so in order to combat them, they needed to overcome a large ridge, Hacksaw Ridge, and they had to drop cargo nets from the top of it all the way down. Here's the challenge. It's really hard to get that high and to have somebody bring that whole cargo net down. And so they said, would any men volunteer to do this? Three did. Doss was one of them, okay, this courageous man. And so three individuals go up. They are able to establish a ladder almost of a cargo net, and many men are climbing up to the surface to engage in this battle, a really important, decisive battle in World War II. So they get up there and they start fighting. And they were not prepared for what was going to hit them. I mean, it was devastating. They lost so many casualties, so many men. And so they began to retreat to come back down the netting. But some men stayed up there. Some men stayed on the ridge to fight and to carry on the offensive. One of them, again, was Doss. Doss stayed there. And 12 hours of the peak fighting, he was able to stay and maneuver himself in safety, to reach out to soldiers who were dying. And even through the night, he would stay up there. And he devised this plan that if I can get them away from the battle over to the cargo net, we can build a harness and drop them down to save their lives. So he did this again and again. He would walk around, he would sneak by different places, and he would find where there was a living soldier who was breathing and hurting, and he would do everything he could to make them okay, but then he would try to get them to safety. His legend grew. Even the Japanese soldiers many years later would talk about this man who was like a ghost, who would just go from place to place quickly to save and to rescue his soldiers. Even reports where every time they tried to shoot him, their gun would jam or something would take place. It's an exciting story when you read everything outside the movie. But you know, when I think about Desmond Doss, what hits me most, or what's so fascinating to me, or even inspiring, is not that he chose to be a medic with no weapon. It's not that he was even able to, you know, rescue 70-plus soldiers, risking his life. That, to me, is not the most amazing part. The most amazing part of Desmond Doss's story is that he chose to leave safety behind in a shipyard to enter a battlefield because he knew it was right. That, to me, is the definition of courage. Willing to step out to do something that will cost you, something that could be dangerous to you. He did it. You want to talk about being uncomfortable? You want to talk about stepping out of your comfort zone? He did that. That's courage. You see, every single one of us this morning, we have to realize something. We have the power of choice. What if Desmond Doss would have chose not to do what he did? What if he would have stayed in the shipyard? The 77th Regiment wouldn't have had its leader. They didn't look to the platoon leader. They looked at Desmond Doss. He was their leader. All because of a choice. Every single one of us have so many choices that we can make. Choices that can take us further into following who God's calling us to become, or a choice to stay in the shipyard where maybe it's easy and it's comfortable, it's safe. And we always have to think about, well, what does God desire? What is God longing for? God always longs for you to grow. He always longs for you to mature, not to escape, not to run, but to make choices that demonstrate courage because you're stepping out in obedience to be who God's called you to be. Just like Desmond Doss. I love a quote by these two authors. Edwin Markham says, "The doors of destiny swing on the hinges of our choices." And one in a similar vein, John Maxwell, says, "Life is a matter of choices, and every choice you make makes you." Okay, so think about Joshua for a moment. Joshua had a choice. Can you put yourself in a situation for a moment? They come out of the camp or the tent and they say, "Hey, just so everybody knows, Moses is dead. He's gone. He's now with the Father." What do you think was happening in the camp? Panic? Hysteria? Freaking out? Wondering, oh my gosh, what's going to take place? You know who they were looking at? Joshua. And Joshua's sitting there like, "Oh, okay, all right. Whew, okay." And we know Joshua has a bad track record because when you look in Deuteronomy, when you look at other parts of the Old Testament, you see that Joshua had to be encouraged again and again. So Joshua needed to really make a choice here. He had every opportunity to say, "You know what, God? I'm good." He didn't, though. He didn't. He looked what was going on. He looked at what was being experienced in the camp. He made a choice that took courage. You know, what do you think you would have felt if you were around Joshua in that moment? What do you think Joshua saw? I think he saw fear. I think he saw pain. I think he saw probably people who were like, "Man, what do we do with Moses? He's not here now. You know, Israel, the name, what we're called to be." I think he saw discouragement. This past week, we had a staff meeting, and our financial leader, Helen, did a devotional on discouragement. She talked about how discouragement is like that rampant, you know, disease that can metastasize, where discouragement can lead you to see things that you shouldn't be seeing through a lens of pain and anguish. It can lead you to make decisions that you shouldn't be making because discouragement is guiding you, and it will spread like a trickle-down effect. We were talking about this, how we see it in the book of Numbers, in the book of Exodus, in the story of Moses, the story of Joshua. But Joshua had courage. He left behind safety, and he walked in to a destiny, a legacy of him stepping out of his comfort zone to do something unique, something powerful, something courageous. You know, I think about all of us this morning. I can go on a limb and say that all of us need courage. You've got things in your life that you're about to walk through, right? I was talking to Caden Mucklow yesterday. Caden's going on a trip to Honduras. We leave a week from tomorrow. And I was talking to him. He said, I've never flown on a plane. I've never been overseas. I can't wait. And, you know, it's exciting because I'm watching a young man of God step out of where what he's used to do something for God and his kingdom. That's what it's all about. It takes courage. But even other things that we have in life, we have things that we're going through that we need to press on through, things that we need to battle through, people that we need to forgive, bitterness and emotions that we need to suppress so that we could be free. That takes courage. It's easy to stay here. It's hard to go there. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at Joshua and just a couple of these verses, and I want us to take something home this week from this story that we can see that this element of courage is something that we need to have as individuals following Jesus, because God is going to put things in your path, and he's going to look, and he's going to test you and say, how courageous can you be? How much do you trust me? Let's look again at verses 1 to 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, my servant Moses is dead. Proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea in the west shall be your territory. We see God giving a command to an individual, saying, this is what you are to do. This is where you are going. You see, courage always is accompanied by mission. You're not given courage by God for nothing. You're given courage to go somewhere, to do something, to become something. In the same way, just like, you know, faith, we don't just have faith and trust for nothing. We have faith and trust to follow Jesus, to go where he calls us to go, to do what he calls us to do. You know, this element of courage this morning, what we see in Joshua, is a reminder that God is looking not for worthy people, but people to make worthy of his mission. There's a big difference. No one in this room is worthy at all. But we are people who humbly hold our lives before the Father, and we say, Father, use us. Give us courage to be who you called us to be. Make us worthy, Father. You see, Moses died, God didn't. The vision was still alive. And God looked for somebody else and said, okay, Joshua, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to step into what I'm calling you to do. He had a choice. I don't think Joshua woke up that morning thinking that, okay, this is about to go down, here we go. But he was ready with courage for the new assignment. Now, I asked Sherry to do this morning because Sherry's story, I know many of us know this, but of all the people I have in my life, I'm so thankful for somebody like Sherry who has shown Michelle and I what it looks like to step out in faith, to go out of your comfort zone, and to allow the Lord to use you with a new assignment that you didn't expect was coming. And I asked her to share maybe about 2 minutes on the element of going from this is what I was doing, and then I trusted God, and now he's leading me into doing this. Because I want to make a promise to you. There's more to life than your 9-to-5 job. There's individuals and people around you longing for you to be led by you because you have a purpose. Sherry, could you come up and share just a quick aspect of that whole journey? There you go.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Hi. You have somebody standing in front of you who is too afraid to go to a garage sale by herself. And the Lord called me to the inner city mission. to restoration. The first time I went, I was so terrified. I was so scared. But just going, it's changed my life. The relationships that have been built, I never would have met any of these folks if I'd stayed in my comfort zone. If I'd stayed in my nice little job and just going home and doing whatever I did there. But now I really feel like the Lord has given me purpose. He's given me a voice, and he's given me a new family. So that's just what the Lord's done for me, and I know he can do it for you too if you just take that one step, even though you're terrified. As Mary Kay would say, do it scared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate that. Now, Jay and Tay, you guys are right here. I'm not going to make you speak or say anything. But Jay and Tay down here are part of Restoration Ministry, and they, I think, will confirm that Miss Sherry is kind of like another mom. Am I right? Okay. But do you see how one person's obedience and courage led to dynamic relationships with two young men who are with us right now, who owe a lot to the example of Jesus in Sherry? Now, I know it's not all about Sherry right here, but every single one of us has that capacity as long as we have courage. I mean, that's what God is looking for. Not worthy people, but people to be made worthy. I'll never forget a few years back, Michelle came up and took the mic when we were talking. Not took the mic. Sounds like you grabbed it from me. She said, you know, I felt like God put something on my heart to share. And she came up here a few years back and she said, you know, if you're looking for purpose, if you want to know what God's calling you to do, to be courageous in, ask the question, what breaks your heart? What is it that breaks your heart? Because usually the answer, as she said, is right in there. And God will wire your brain to have a focus and a drive to do something for the kingdom. But remember, what's the element that's needed? Courage. To step out in faith. All right, let's keep going. We're going to look at verse 5 and verse 9 here. Because we're going to see that courage is also something that we trust that God is with us in. In verse 5, it says, no one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 9, I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See that statement up there, courage rests upon the assurance that God is with us. Be real with you for a moment. Last week I went over to Quail Hollow and I had an amazing time with the Lord in prayer. But how many of you know that God is able to handle when we are angry with him? Do you know this? Don't ever live in fear thinking that you can't be authentic before God. Go to the Psalms. Look at David. David showed authenticity. So I'm talking to the Lord in prayer. As I've shared before, I've done it out loud many times. I've scared hikers who come around corners and they find me. I've had moments where I had headphones on, I'm worshiping, I'm singing, and then all of a sudden like a lady and her dog comes right beside me. Thankfully, because of the monsoon season, I was the only one. I was in muck boots, like the waterproof ones up to here. It was fantastic. So I'm praying, I'm calling out to God, and I knew this phrase was going to be here this Sunday morning, and I was staring at it written down, and I said out loud to God, I said, God, I know you're here theologically, but I struggle to believe that you're here relationally. I'm being honest. I said, I know you're here with me in this moment theologically. I'm struggling to feel you relationally. You know, there's times, guys, where we are not going to experience God's presence. There are times where we're going to say, God, what are you doing here? Come on now. Right? I know I'm not the only one. But here's the thing. As I was pouring out my heart to God, saying, God, what are you doing? Where are you at in life and all kinds of things I was bringing before him? He brought me back to a memory I had with Kennedy, my daughter. See, Kennedy was so stubborn. Was. Kennedy is so stubborn. And I love this girl with all my heart. And teaching her to ride a bike was one of the hardest things Michelle and I ever tried to do, ever. She's not even a teenager yet, okay? So that's all I got so far. So we would try and teach her, and it was always hard, but there was one moment where, you know, we would take turns and help her. But I remember one time it was just me and Kennedy out in the front concrete area by the grass. And we would try to start her on the concrete, and then she would go on the grass where it was softer because, you know, if you fall, that's easier. And so I was with her, and she, you know, kept saying, "Daddy, you know, like, don't leave me, but don't touch the bike." It was like, what do you want, right? Have you seen the movie Notebook, where, you know, the Noah's talking to the, what do you want? So, sorry. I just admitted I saw the movie Notebook. Crap. It's a dumb movie. Don't see it. I don't recommend it. Okay. Yeah, admission's coming out. Sorry. So anyways, but, you know, it's what do you want me to do, Kennedy? You know, it's don't touch the bike, don't put your hands on my waist or my shoulders, but let me do it, but teach me and show me. So anyways, I got her going, but I was behind her, and she couldn't see me. And she was going, and she's starting to do it into the grass, and then she falls, and she didn't see me the whole time, but I got there right behind her, and I just picked her back up. And God showed me that image when I was at Quail Hollow, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, God, isn't that the truth? Even though we don't see him or feel him in our periphery at times, even though we think, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? The whole time he's, I'm right here because you're going. And now the training wheels are coming off. You're learning how to depend on faith. You're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. You're learning how to step out in courage. You're learning how to wrestle through. You're learning how to deal with doubt. You know, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. And the whole time he's right there as we're walking. Because chances are, you'll look back at your life and the moments that you step out in courage, and you look back and you'll think, I had no idea that I was capable of doing that. I had no idea I was able of standing strong through that. And you'll have to say, God, it was you. And I'll say, yeah, I was behind you. You might not have been able to see me, but I was behind you. When we know that, it's so much easier to have courage. When we know that, it's so much easier to confront the things that need confronted, to have hard conversations, to even have forgiveness and bitter, or to forgive somebody who's wronged us, because we know God is with us to give us strength. It takes courage, but that's the launching point. You know, earlier I said about, you know, next week's kind of family meeting after church, I cannot wait for. You know, coming back, my goodness, from surgery, it has been a crazy 7-8 weeks of things that I was never anticipating walking back into. Ministry's hard. A lot of challenges. But it doesn't sway from the fact that we are excited about where God is leading this church, because he's doing something that requires all of us and our eldership team and our staff to say, okay, God, you're up to something unique here. We're with you. We're walking by faith. But what we've realized as a team is that God is positioning this church to be a church that is modeled after compassion and a radical desire to embody Jesus into Plain Township, to Glen Oak High School, into this community. And it's going to require men and women of God who have courage, who step out in faith and do unique things for the kingdom of God. Now, he's not here this morning, but I know his wife, Julie, is right there. Jeff couldn't be here. Congratulations, by the way. You graduated. You're going to get your wings soon. Proud of you. For those of you who don't know, she will be your next flight attendant for what airline? American Airlines. American Airlines? Yes. All right, so go ahead and only book through them, and hopefully you get Julie, okay? But Jeff has been on an exciting journey. Jeff approached me, I'm going to say maybe a couple months back, and he said, no, I got this crazy idea. And he didn't even know what God was putting in my heart at the time. He's like, I got this crazy idea. He's like, you know, and he's going to share his story, by the way. I'm only giving a small tidbit. He said, you know, I battled alcoholism my whole life back in the day, and God freed me and brought sobriety. I've got a story to share. I've got a ministry I know God is birthing. I want to reach out to alcoholics. Now, he didn't know this, but in my head, in my heart, for a long time, I've been praying, Lord, give us a strategy to reach out to the bar scene, to reach out to those who are lost in addiction and in alcoholism, that we could be a blessing to them, to walk beside them, to bring Christ to them. And so Jeff is sharing this with me, and I said, Jeff, you have no idea. Like, this is God putting this together. There's something unique that he wants to do, to birth a ministry, to go to bars, to reach out to these individuals who need hope. And so we've been talking about it, but the coolest part of this is when Jeff shared with me all the things that have been leading up to this moment. You know, Jeff has always been, and I know Julie can attest, a shy kind of guy. He's not going to say a lot. But here's this man of God now stepping out in faith, with courage, leaving safety behind to put together an idea and a plan for those of High Mill, small pockets of people, to go for outreach and evangelism to meet with alcoholics, to hopefully bring them into sobriety in Christ, AA groups, and right into this church so that we might support them and walk beside them. Do you see how that works? You have courage to step out, to trust that God is with you, and then you go for it. Even if you don't see him, you trust he's with you. That's the story of Joshua. That's the story of what God's doing in Jeff, which you'll hear about more soon. Man, that's what it's all about. That's the kind of radical passion and ministry God wants to birth here in High Mill Church for our community. And so make sure you stay next week afterwards. I'm excited. Let's keep going through the story. There's one more area we need to point out to. It's the the obvious elephant in the room regarding Joshua. What do you see God say three times to Joshua? It's one phrase: be strong and courageous. Three times. God does not have a bad memory. There's a reason God says three times, be strong and courageous. Because God knows what's in front of Joshua is going to be a challenge. God knows what's in front of you is going to be a challenge. What he's asking you to do, what he's asking you to follow through on, it's going to be a challenge. And so what needs to be encouraged again and again and again? Be strong. Be courageous. Don't go to the left or the right. Stay the course. This is what God is telling Joshua. And so Joshua has to command this and show this to the leaders, to Israel, so that they continue to make the choice to stay on course. Now, you might know this, but we humans, we are a flaky and fickle bunch. We really are. I mean, we're good one day, we're down the next day. You know, we could have something great happen, we're on top of the world, and then a sports team loses, and oh my gosh, life is over, right? This is like for me and Michelle during sports season, right? Something can happen that can send you just this way or that way or this way. That's humanity. That's not just a Christian thing. That's humanity. Well, God knows that. And so what we have to remember is that as we continue on and trying to obey Jesus the best we can with what's in front of us, it will require staying the course. It will require sticking it out. You know, think about it this way. If you're flying over the right target, you're going to get shot at. If you're flying over the wrong target, you're not going to get shot at. I mean, think about this for a moment. If you are on mission, going in a direction with your life that God has called you to do something with, that you refuse to say, I will not just do a 9-to-5, I will find a purpose, I will find what breaks my heart, like Michelle had said, you're going to go in that direction. That's the right target. You will be shot at. For so long, you know, many of us, we go on and we're just doing our thing. We're a Christian and it's going great. We got the label, we got the Bible study, we got the devotional. But the second you step out to try to do something for the kingdom of God, even down to the smallest level of showing grace to somebody who's hurt you, you're going to get shot at. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But you got to take the first step. It's one foot in front of the other. Like Joshua, to have courage. And you might need to be reminded three times a day by God, reminding you who you are, what you're called to do with your life, and how you're called to be a blessing to others, to be Jesus Christ to others. Because we're a fickle bunch. See, I'm encouraged when I look at the story of Joshua because I'm reminded, just like in this series, that God can do things through normal people like you and I. Remember, he took Gideon, first week in the series. Gideon's weakness ended up being the strength. God took Gideon's army and did amazing things with them. God took Abraham. Abraham showed obedience to what God put in front of him, and he went for it. We've got Hannah last week. Hannah had to stay persistent being misunderstood. She had to stay persistent while being torn down by agitators. She had to stay the course. We got Joshua, an individual who rises to the occasion to walk with courage and strength, to lead. You know, you've got your spouse, you've got children, you've got friends around you. God's calling you to lead them to higher ground. He's calling you to be an example. Do not let discouragement steal and rob the person God is trying to help you become. Do not let bitterness get in the way, eating away at that part of you that God longs to transform. He wants to see you grow and mature. And he's going to do his part, but you got to do your part to have courage to step out. Like Jeff, like Sherry, like Julie, who now is entering a whole new mission field in the sky. I tell her this all the time. Like Michelle, who so long ago never thought in a million years she'd be like a mom to so many, you know, kids. I mean, we have 3 kids, and then we have like 70 kids, okay? Or like Cassidy and Joe, who just recently got married, who are going to be going to Africa to serve. You know, or Josh Carey, who leads us so amazingly in worship, who battled mental illness, and you heard his story, and he steps out to lead because he has courage. I mean, I look at so many people around this room. The answer to what God wants to do in this church and in your life is right here in front of you. It's right here. It's the Holy Spirit within us who longs to transform you to becoming the men and women who do the hard things, who rise up with courage. And so this week, as you continue on in your time, going through the routine of life and work and family and marriage, remember, there's going to be things in front of you that are going to require courage. And the more you exercise that courage, the more God will give you missions and assignments that you can be courageous in. Don't be robbed of those moments. Now, this past week, Pastor Chuck was supposed to be gone in Seattle. I can share this part, I think. Thursday, I got a phone call, and Glenn back here, who's helping my dad out with some stuff, he says, "Noah, just so you know, Pastor Chuck's in the hospital. He got rushed into the emergency room." And I think that was it. And Glenn kept me in suspense. I appreciate you. Pastor Chuck even told him not to call me. Yeah, thanks, Dad. And so I called right away, and I rushed to the hospital, didn't know what was going on. And you can ask him what was going on, but he's doing better. He's stronger now. And so he wasn't supposed to be here. And so he came to me this morning, and he said, "No, I felt like I wanted to lead us at the end today, to share something that God's put on my heart." And I thought to myself, well, you weren't supposed to be here. Now you are. God put this on your heart. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Chuck, who can lead us. And I'm going to go take a seat. Does that work?
Sure.
Do you have experience doing this before? Just kidding. Thank you, Dad.
Well, you know, when Noah said, Thursday morning at 6:15, I was ready to get up and take a shower. And I felt a familiar twinge that I've had twice before. It's a kidney stone. And I'm going, no, this can't be happening. I'm supposed to fly out at 5:45. My flight got canceled at 10:20. We tried everything, my travel agent, to get me to 5:45 because I was seeing people during the day Thursday in Seattle. Nothing would work out. She goes, you've got to fly at 10:21. I said, well, there's got to be a reason. Well, there was a reason, because if I had flown at 5:45, I'd have had this attack on the airplane. So God's in charge. So I've been sitting home last 4 days, kind of frustrated, kind of angry with God, kind of feeling sorry for myself. Because I feel like I let a lot of people down, because I was their speaker, and I'm supposed to be at a Russian-speaking church, Ukrainian. Another whole story. But it all worked out. They're covered. But the neat thing was this. Yesterday, the best way I can describe it was I had like an epiphany where I began to see something It was so radically powerful. I came in here this morning and it happened again. I grabbed Barb back there and started telling her kind of what I was seeing. So then I go upstairs and I listen to Gary share in our class. By the way, for those of you, at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, it's incredible what's happening up there. We call it the upper room, and it really is. So you're welcome to join us. Gary got up and began to speak everything that God has shown me these last 2 days where I've been feeling sorry for myself. And I realized it wasn't that I wasn't supposed to be in Seattle, because I was supposed to be here. To hear him this morning, to have him share with you. Because what he shared is what I've seen the past 2 days. And so I just thank the Lord that in my own immaturity and being angry, and God, what are you doing? Why did this happen? And all this and that. God had a much bigger plan. Gary, did you come down? Gary, you are here, right? You didn't leave when I, okay. I didn't scare you off. It was so powerful. And I was thinking upstairs, I wish the church could hear this. So I went straight to Noah. Noah goes, Dad. And it all just really fit together. So, Gary, you're on.
Last week, I mentioned to Pastor Chuck, I says, you're leaving. Who's going to be teaching upstairs? And he says, oh, thanks for reminding me. You are. And I said, okay. So I began to deal even that evening on, okay, Lord, what direction do you want me to go in? How, where? And I was sitting down, and I said, well, let's go in this direction. And I wrote some notes. I got 2 sentences down, and I deleted it all. Tuesday morning, I was down in the family room just sitting there, and I says, Lord, I said, this is Tuesday. Sunday's a-coming. I can't tell you how his presence fell upon me and what he downloaded. What he downloaded was the phrase, now is the time. And I said, Lord, what do you mean, now is the time? And besides a whole bunch of things that came by, the one thing that really struck me was, now is the time for High Mill to get back to its roots in new wineskins. The new wineskins that I have already clothed them in, because now is the time for them to receive me, the new wine which I have for them. And then he showed me that he had drawn a line. You know how little kids, you pass that line and just go ahead. I challenge you, you know. But this time it was God that drew the line. And what he showed me and what he told me was, I have drawn this line, Satan, against you. You have hurt my people called High Mill Church of the Resurrection, and that time is over. They are my people with new wineskins, ready to receive the new wine. You're done. You're through. Now is the time. You know, Pastor Noah just reminded us that we will be shot at. That doesn't mean there's not more to come. So now is the time to fix our gaze not on the numbers, but on the cross. Now is the time to receive the new wine, because we are already dressed in our new wineskins. Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Gary. He shared a whole bunch more, and I wish I could have had a copy of it for you, but he hit the main point. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. The person will never be more excited. And it might sound crazy, but there are those in this room, you know what I mean. It's the ability to see the future before it even happens. Know that God's in charge. I just feel like this morning, we can end with communion as we leave. You're welcome to receive it. I would like to invite all of you to come to the front. I want us to surround Pastor Noah and Michelle. I want us to pray for them. Nobody knows behind the scenes what war can be like spiritually, unless you're in ministry. But this morning, I want them to feel the love that I know that we have for them. So would you all come down and join me? Guys, if you come over here. I'm going to pass the mic around. Whoever the Lord leads to pray, just stand right over here. I'm going to pray first of all. Come in real close, guys. Father, we thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're greater than any obstacle that we face. And so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. Father, thank you for the quote that, Barb, where are you at? It wasn't Barb. Who had the quote about fear this morning upstairs?
Appearing real.
False evidence appearing real. Father, we stand against fear. Father, we thank you for your love. I'm going to pass the mic around. 3, 4, 5 of you that want to pray. I'll just start it over here, whoever wants to.
Father, I just lift up Noah and Michelle right now. God, I pray that you would shower them with deep love, affection, and the knowledge that they are following the path that you have set before them. I pray that you would continue to surround them with people that are for them, believe in them, trust them, and are loyal to them. God, I pray that every time they feel discouraged, that you would show them a sign that it's going to be okay, that you're with them on this journey. And Lord, I just pray that they would see how loved they are, and the character that they have, and the character that you've built in them, and that this church is for them, that they love them. And Lord, I just pray that they would just sense a peace of what's happening and what's to come, and that they would be excited about the future just like we are, Lord. And we pray that we trust you even when we don't see you, that we trust you and know that you're there, and that we would learn to reach out just the same. Even when we can't feel you, that we would learn to reach out just the same. And that's what I'm praying for Noah and Michelle, Lord.
Lord, I pray for Michelle. Pastor Noah, that you would send extra angels around them, doing more warfare than ever, Lord, that they would unabashedly feel your freedom to truly count it all joy and confound what everybody else thinks is normal. Jesus.
The good shepherd and his wife, God's got this.
This morning, Pastor Chuck was sitting back there, and he told me about he had seen faces, and they all had white, shiny gowns on. And then he said he looked again, and they were our faces. People, we all got to wake up. We are the remnants of our church. And then Gary talked upstairs, and there again he said, I saw white gowns, people in white gowns. And I just looked at Pastor Chuck and I said, wow. Holy Spirit, come and wake us up. Bring your angels down on us, Lord, and give us all the strength to look forward instead of being afraid. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, there's just you brought to my mind. You said, greater love hath no man that he would give up his life for his brother. Father God, that just makes me feel of Noah and Michelle. That much love for us, that they're giving up their lives to serve you and to serve us. Father God, I just ask you to lift them up, give them the strength And just, Father, be blessed because they are a blessing to you. Father God, let us claim what is ours in your name.
I just want to say that what Noah spoke on today about being courageous, it's not just for us, it's for all of us. And Noah and I, as much as I love that this turned into a prayer session for us, I feel like we all need it. And more now than ever, I've realized that we can't do this without you guys. And we need you. We need the support, and we all have a mission. This isn't about us. This isn't about what we're called to do. It's about what we're all called to do. And the only way that we'll be able to do that is together. And I believe in the people who've stayed, and you have no idea how much that means. I never dreamt that we would be in this season. I never dreamt our church would be in this moment. And I'm being so real and honest to say, I'm fearful and I'm scared, but what Noah spoke on today about being courageous, that's where we're at, and we're hanging on to that. But we need y'all with us in this mission. So thank you for your love, your prayer, for being here. And we feel it, and we love you guys. So let's all continue to grow in that together.
Yeah. I preached. I'm good.
I just thought, amen.
Amen to this. How about, I hate them on the spot. Where's he at? No. Travis, you still here? Travis, will you pray over our church? I want Travis to pray over us. I am here to give you an introduction. You embody what we're trying to do here, and I just want your blessing over our church.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the cross, Father. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you that you accept us when we reject each other. We thank you that you accept us and forgive us and show mercy and compassion over us, Father, when we fail in so many ways, Lord. Help us to keep our faith in you. Help us to walk strong with courage. Give us the strength to stand up when others say sit down, Father. Give us the courage to stand true, true to your word, true to Jesus. Such an honor for me to be here in this moment right now, Father. I thank you for Pastor Noah and Pastor Chuck and how they've ministered to me and ministered to my family and encouraged us. Father, we just thank you that you give us the strength, that our strength doesn't come through man, that our strength comes through eternal, holy, perfect God that has a unique, defined mission and purpose for each one of us, Lord. Help us to walk in your purpose, Lord. Your will be done, not our will. Your kingdom to come, not our kingdom, Father. And just thank you so much that you give us new beginnings, that you give us new opportunities, Lord. And I just pray for each one of us that we would have the courage to stand fast, to stand together, and go out and build a new kingdom for you, Father. And we do it in your will, your desires for this church and for this family, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Josh, you want to close us, and we'll go out of here in celebration.
I knew there had to be a reason why God wanted me to learn this song this week. We're going to see God do it again. We're going to see his faithfulness so strong that we won't even believe it. And that's why. That's why he wants us to know that it's him. It's by his strength, by his faithfulness, not ours. That's why he works in the impossible. Let's sing this song again.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. What you have never felt me ever. for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never. And I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. And Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your sing your praise again. It's declared as a family. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. And I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
Father, we come to you in confidence this morning to tell you that we are afraid, Lord. We have fear. We don't have it all together, Lord Jesus. We don't know exactly where you're taking us, Lord. But we're excited to be along for the ride. I pray that you would be with our church. Strengthen us. Encourage us. Help us to be strong and courageous as we move into this new season. We give you everything, Father. And most of all, we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday, everyone.